Welcome to Starfleet Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I run SFB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just when I join us with a talk cast every Thursday night starting 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either call on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions and the call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the TalkShoe website at www.talkshoe.com and search for call ID 17702. And remember to bring your Chromium-based browser. And of course, we also co-broadcast if you want to watch us and participate in the chat over there is on Twitch. So go to twitch.tv/SFUOnCall and you will find us there. You'll start somewhere between 9:30 and 9:35. I like to wait usually a little bit so that people won't miss out on anything. And of course, if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. It's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, you can follow me on Twitter, which is also sfuoncall. And you get to find out you get to see the YouTube video post, you know, the link to the latest YouTube video, and also, of course, the topic for this evening, or any evening. And I have a personal account, which is Paul Franz, P-A-U-F-R-A-N-Z. Yes, I got in there early. Beat everyone to it. Yes. Actually, there's another guy who's also Paul Franz, but it's Paul P. Franz, and that's... No, a long story, but irrelevant. So if you want to follow me, that's great. Just a reminder, you know, I'm proud to be a Catholic and O's fan. And, of course, I love tech. So if you don't like any of those topics, if they bother you, then don't follow me. And, of course, tertiary account is my friend's games account. So if you want to keep up with what's going on with SFB Online and what's going on with Starfleet Warlord, just follow that. And it's nice and quiet. You know, it doesn't maybe one post a month or something like that. It's relatively low bandwidth. And of course, this lovely TalkCast gets turned into a podcast available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. Some quick news from ADB: Steve Petrick is currently recovering from his stroke and things. And of course, Steve Cole had been fussing for him for over a year to get some medical treatment and so forth, but no, you know. And now he, you know, fortunately, actually kind of got a stroke, so he will be better off, I think, overall in the long term. Because now he's got the medical treatment that he really should have been having for a while. Also, Jean Sexton had her surgery. I forget what her new last name is. I think it's a combination, Sexton and the new last name. I forget that is. Sorry, Al. I forgot your last name. She had her surgery, and she's recovering nicely. But keep both Gene and Steve in your thoughts and your prayers. That's it currently when it comes to ADB. Now, moving onward and forward. When it comes to the NetKill finals for 2021 Q4, the finals have been announced. They have yet to play the game. I'm going to go bug them again. I bugged them, and they said they were planning on getting together. They see they can get together this week. Well, it's this week, and I have not heard anything. So I will do that probably tomorrow, at the worst case, in the weekend. But that's one thing I need to kind of push them to go, like, because honestly, if they don't care about the prize, you know, that's fine with me. If they just want to, you know, use NetKill as a way of encouraging, you know, them to play and other people's to play, that's why we have NetKill, is to encourage people to play more tournament games, play more online, and be available more online. That's the goal of NetKill. So, you know, currently, you know, hopefully we can get more people involved. And I think, you know, I know there at one time we were doing Flying Deuces, which is for basically for beginners only. You couldn't, if you're a veteran, you couldn't play. But, you know, we haven't done that for a while either. I'm not sure if that would be a good option or not. Maybe we'll talk about that later in the podcast. And, of course, just a reminder, there is a YouTube channel for the client. It's called SFU Online Client Channel. You have to do, actually, I don't have a link. You have to search for SFU Online Client, and you should find that channel. I don't think I fit the criteria to have a special URL on YouTube. It's goofy. I still haven't figured that out. And when it comes to the FedCom Library, no progress there. Actually, there have been updates for the SFB Library. There's been some fixes that have been posted. So enjoy the fixes. And actually, one addition, which was the Carnivon PLV, because it was a police carrier. So that's new that actually got added. And with that, that is the news for this week. And this me is one of the phone friends welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, well, it's just moi. So if you're expecting Barry, I'm sorry to tell you, Barry is not here. Where he is, I do not know. I'm assuming he probably had an early day tomorrow, or he had a late night tonight. Probably late night tonight would be my guess. At his job, wherever he is at this moment in whatever part of the country he's currently at. So, say at least, when it comes to topics, I'm drawing a complete and utter blank. So, we're going to, I'd say, we're going to roll the dice and see what happens. But I don't, rolling the dice assumes that you actually have choices that you have in mind. But we'll still see how it goes, shan't we? It's going to be, so, obviously, there's the old stalwarts of the podcast. You know, I could talk about SFB Online. I could talk about Warlord. I could talk about ADB. I could talk about so many things. I'm just going to mention one thing really off the top that's going to be kind of off topic for this podcast, but I just want to recognize something. Hey, Chris. And that is that I'm getting to this age. Just to let you know, I just had my birthday. I'm now 56. Yes. Where more and more people that I know are dying. Now, the last person actually was Mike. I forgot his last name at the moment, and I apologize. I didn't know him well. I just know of him. And we got to get. Thanks, Dave. Yeah, I adjusted the lighting. But anyway, I didn't know him that well. He'd come to the Gamers of Winter and Gamers of Summer. He always had a lot of fun. He brought his daughter many times. They stopped coming around the time she started going to college. Now, I follow him and his daughter on Facebook. And he died suddenly of a heart attack this past week. So it's like, okay, I'm getting to that point where people are starting to die. And it's like, it makes me feel old. Not because I'm getting to that point in my life where it's normal that friends and people start dying. Now, obviously, I'm only 56, so in this day and age, that's considered kind of young. You know, it is, not old, but not, I'm not a spring chicken, but at the same time, not really old. You know, but anyway, I guess. As I've always mentioned, which is old is the way you feel. I just seeing that just made me feel old. But whatever. Moving onward to the topic for this evening, you know, I've been one of the things actually I as I showed last week, which was the new web server for Starfleet Warlord, what it's going to be looking like, which to me is easier to maintain. I think it will do things much better. I have to do a little work on the back end a bit there's a couple things I have to do for that website before I actually can do the big switch. One, I have to make sure that all the accounts that the current active accounts that are currently on the current website are now moved over to the new website. And at that point, if people want to reset their passwords, do things like that, they're going to have to do that themselves. Assuming that their email address is correct, if their email, I'm probably going to have some, probably send out an email saying that, okay, if you can't, if your email address has changed from your account, and I'm going to try to do my best to make sure that at least the active players, which are around, there aren't a tremendous amount of active players Starfleet Warlord, but for those that are active, they have their updated email address in their account at the new location. So I got to do a little work on the back end, which is at this point the back end is mainly that when you use PayPal, it'll automatically attach it to your account. So, because all the rest works, it does create the link and redirect you to PayPal. It does allow you to do what you currently do, which is actually put in initial orders, and it will send out the proper email to your account that you've registered for, that you actually have an account with a proper password and all that kind of thing. You have to be logged in and all. And of course, then you can look at your information. Now, the big change here is that if you want to change your information, that's one thing I've got to do, is I have to look up to see how, because I'm using a third party for authentication and authorization. So I need to find out, okay, what's a link I can give people so that they can say, click, if they need to update their account information, they click on this and they can update their account information. So I need to figure that one out. Signups, I currently, when you do click on the login button, it gives you a login page, but also one of the tabs on that login page is also a signup page. It's a signup tab. So that one I need to, so it allows people to sign up, which is fine. But at the same time, one of the ways I limit currently what people recognize as being signed up is that they paid. It's a dollar. It's $1. $1 from PayPal. I use that dollar, as I've mentioned before, I use that $1 just as a verification step. Because unless you're willing to pay $1, I'm not asking for $20 to register for an account. I'm asking $1. If you can pay $1, and come on, you know how much of that money I'm actually getting? Not that much. I'm getting maybe, I might be getting 90 cents of the dollar. The idea is just to discourage the whole spammy access. Now, obviously, the problem is I still have, if I go to my website and I go look at the accounts that have been created that are not verified, I've got a lot of crappy accounts, and those I need to clean up. And that's why I have to do some of the work for the back end. Hopefully, I can get some of that work done this weekend, at least some of it. I don't expect to get it all done. But so far, I haven't heard anyone and I posted this up on the Facebook page. And on that Facebook page, you know, I asked, you know, this is what the new site's going to look like, you know, and they said I wanted people's opinion. I'm not sure if I don't think I explicitly said that, but that was the implied thing. So far, I've got two thumbs up. In that, you know, the people have used it and they say they can use it, and that's important. There are actually some additional, as you saw last week, I've got to work on some of the links because some of the links don't work. So, and I don't know why at the moment. My guess is that I added the link and I forgot to add the resource behind the link. So, we'll just wait and see on that. But anyhow, so stuff of the world that I was going to be starting up. Actually, I just got a new player, and we're going through a Liners game, and I forget the person's name, but basically that person, you know, he emailed me, which was unusual. It wasn't through the contact form, which I would have seen. He went directly to my email. Now the question is, how did he find my email address? I don't know. I don't remember. I don't think I have it on the current website. I might have it, and I don't remember. It's been a while since I've updated the website. All the more reason to switch to a new website, because the one thing about the current the new website is a lot of it is purely, it's generated using this template called Jekyll. And that produces a static website. What's the great thing about the static website for me is that most of the website I have is a static website. There's only a little bit that's not static. And that little bit is what I had worked on and got going. So that was written in JavaScript to show, you know, the different show the pieces and so forth, and have so you can log in and all that, does that interaction in JavaScript. So, since the actual website itself, you know, the interactive part of it is very limited as it is. Hey, Mike, starting your Friday here. I'm not sure why you would do that, but thank you for joining us. So that's what's going to happen with Starfleet Warlord. You know, obviously we're going to be starting a new game. The current games is going to be completing very soon. I meant to start a new game at the very beginning of January, and I totally flipped. You know, I get busy with other things and just totally forget about stuff, and I apologize for that. I'm trying to keep up to date with other things, you know. But anyway, SFB Online, as I pointed out before, you know, I've worked on an alternate server backend, which is very light. I like it because it's a very light. I might actually have, it's one of those things like any other software project. You know, you write it the first time, and you really should rewrite it. You need to do it again. Why? Because you learn about all the things you did wrong the first time around. And I, the second time around, you do it much better. I'm debating with myself whether I'm going to take the project and open source it, because of it. I'm not sure how many people actually would be interested in such a simple piece of code. You know, maybe it's of interest to some people. Obviously some of the architecture is, there are certain things I know that I would need to really scale this sucker up. I would need to do. There's lots of stuff that I would need to really scale this thing high. And if you get to those points, it gets really complicated. I'm not sure if I want to do that. Obviously, I can do what I did with, I have one open source project which I created, which I'm the only person that maintains, and I haven't done any work on it for a couple of years now, which was, I call it text-to-DB, I think it's text-to-DB? Yeah. Text-based database. That's what it was, text-based database. That's how often I think about this project. And that is because I like basically it's a record manager that uses CSV files as its format. So it's written, currently I have two versions. I've got a Perl version and I've got a Java version. So if anyone wants to use it, feel free. Wow. So, and this one, you know, it might be the same. Might be, you know, I might write it and no one ever touches it, and that's fine. If no one wants it, that's fine. You know, I put it out there. If people want to use it as a basis for something else, feel free. Because I believe in BSD licenses, and I'm not sure what the difference between a BSD and an MIT license is. In my mind, they're both around the same. The big thing for me is that you can take any code in this case, my open source projects, you can take the code and you can use it however the heck you want to do it. The incentive to give back is that after you actually incorporate it into the main project, and it's not just a fork, you don't have to, you know, you have more than one person actually maintaining it. Now, obviously, in my project at the moment, you know, it's just me. So, you know, it'd be me and whoever else wanted to use my code. Is my code the greatest code in the world? No, it's not. I think that if I did I think about that code and I go, I wouldn't change a thing. When it comes to architecturally speaking, it's the way I want it to be. The only thing I might change at all, and I'm not sure if this is truly the case, that is the column types. I might change the way I define the column types. You know, because the tough part is that you've got Java and you've got Perl, and they're the when it comes to data types, it gets kind of squirrely between those two. Yeah, because the funny part is I was looking for a database and I never did find it. Now, it's possible someone knows about one and can say, oh, yeah, you can just use this one. Well, I never found the one that which I wanted. You know, and I might write it up myself because of it was basically a very slim, trim, almost record manager basis. You know, it's not so much so that it's not key-based storage. You know how NoSQL stuff uses key-based storage these days. It would probably be more of basically record manager based. Because I want to bet the reason why I think back to the record manager base is just because that's when I first started development, you know, started working for a company, that's what we had. We didn't have SQL for DOS-based programs. We had no SQL. So we used a record manager. In this case, the record manager was B-Tree, which was actually kind of cool. You know, it was another thing like DBase, you know, to a certain, but it was all binary and all, you know, it was interesting. I liked B-Tree. So yeah, I looked up B-Tree. I was like, I looked at the licensing, and it's through the freaking roof. It's like, no, I don't think I'll ever use Btrieve commercially because the licensing fee is just too freaking high. Because the big thing for me was I wanted something like my, not MySQL. I wanted something like SQLite, SQLite. But something that could work, that was very light. It doesn't have to support a huge number of transactions, but something simple. But having a REST API as the front end. Now, someone out there will tell me, oh, well, you should look at this. And the thing is, here's the gotcha. Before the REST base, what I wanted it was just basically a record manager kind of API so that you can have multiple programs accessing that quote database, it's not running a database process. Again, as I said, it's a record manager, and the record manager would have the locks and so forth, so multiple programs could vie for accessing the table. And that's the beauty of text-based database is that you could lock it, but it's going to be locking single rows, and that each row was a single file. Because I figured, you know, that's the big thing. You don't need big files anymore. You know, you can have lots of small files, and that should do it. I think the current file systems can handle that. Though, I have to double check, because I think the problem with most file systems is there's a limit to the number of entries for a single directory, which could cause issues. But anyhow, onward and forward. Then what comes SAP Online, you know, obviously the one thing I need to work on, and hopefully I can get to work on this weekend, is better support for give me a sec here, because I got asked for a few weeks ago. Actually, it's coming up almost a month, if not a month ago at this point, and I apologize for not working on it earlier. Da-da-da-da. Okay, just give me a sec. Soldier, that's what. Soldier, I got better support for the Soldier. That was it. I had to bring up my email program and check on that. So I have better support. Now, supposedly, certain things don't work, and I don't know how, especially because the person, I think it was Matt, described it that it works fine in the tournament, but it doesn't work fine in the standard SAP room, and that should not occur. I'm not sure why. Only possibility I can think of is the loading of the types. That's the only possibility I can think of, because the tournament can have a different collection of default types that are available for a type of weapon. You know, sorry, default missiles or plasma or drones or what else are there? There's multiple things about that. So yeah, that's one thing I need to work on. Now, the funny part is one thing I was thinking about today when it comes to was I was thinking about gaming. Big surprise. And when was it? I think it was basically I was driving my car and I was listening to this one podcast, and I was listening to MacBreak Weekly, and Alex Lindsay was just talking about how he was talking about how there's so much, you know, too many games are basically a copy of previous games, and I've heard that from other people too. And I can understand that. And I just, there's one, there was a, I forget how this came to mind, which was Hogan's Heroes. For those of you much younger than me, Hogan's Heroes was a TV series back in the 70s, I think. I'm thinking of it. And it was basically, you had these, it was about this camp, this prison camp in Germany. And it wasn't, it was a comedy. It was lots of fun. And I was thinking about that because the one thing, see the things with Hogan's Heroes, the weird part about Hogan's Heroes with this camp and being a comedy, you know, they had Sergeant Schultz, I know nothing, you know, that, and Colonel Clint? Yeah, I think it's Clint. I'm sure somebody will, it was late 60s. Chris was late 60s, so I was listening to reruns. Okay. Wow. But anyway, I thought of a game. To me, that's a challenging game. Because the thing is, with Hogan's Heroes, one of the things about the game, about that TV series, which was very interesting to me, is that you've got a prison camp run basically by the prisoners for the most part. You know, you got Colonel Klink, you got Sergeant Schultz, you've got these characters that are, you know, they're funny, you know, but they're protecting the prisoners to make sure the prisoners don't escape. But the, of course, invariably they'll get this special prisoner come in that they have to somehow help escape. You know, that's not every single episode was like that, but yeah, every once in a while you hit an episode like that. But here's the thing. Hogan's Heroes, you know, in that you want to make sure Colonel Klink was still there, was always there in charge because he was very pliable and not very smart. And you know, Sergeant Schultz also not the brightest bulb in the bunch, but you know, it was funny. It was great. But here's the thing, that the prisoners had to make sure that the prison camp didn't get shut down, because they're basically using it as a point of operation for the Allies, you know, and because of that. So I was thinking about a crazy game. The game would be something along the lines of, you are Hogan, and you're trying to manage this camp. Have it so that the camp, even though there's prisoners that do escape, that the camp is not shut down for being, you know, Klink is not moved to another camp because of he's so incompetent that he's letting his prisoners escape. And so, for, you know, at the same time, so you have a prison camp where you're trying to keep it in business. You're not trying to have it so everyone escapes. You have to, in my mind, the goal here would be that you have to make sure certain people escape, not too many escape. And the camp, so the camp will stay survive, and so you can still use that as a base of operation, you know. So it to me that comes the ultimate challenge is that you. Usually, in games like that, the whole idea is to maximize the number of people who escape. No, you can't maximize the number of people who escape. The goal is to keep the prisoners, the prisoner, the prison, in business. You know, which to me, I found that one of those things that I thought about and went, you know, that is a neat idea for a game. You know. Obviously, in theory, we could do something along those lines for SFB, you know, using Prime Directive, and that, heck, that could be a Prime Directive, I was going to say scenario, but that's not the proper term for RPG. I'm just going to say scenario for the moment, but because you get the idea. But I think that'd be kind of an interesting way to go. Obviously, one thing I have to work on SFB Online is going to be FedCom and get that library done. And I apologize for not getting all those ships that I've had for months now into the library. It's not easy. I have to go through them all and look through them. But it's gonna remain the same number as long as I don't work on them, you know. So anyhow, obviously, you know, everyone's heard about, you know, the medical history. That's one thing that got me thinking about how old I am, because of A to B is getting up to the point where the employees are getting up there in age. You know, the owner, the marketing person, which is, you know, Gene Sexton. You got Steve Petrick, who's been with Steve for a while. And, of course, Steve Petrick is older than I am. And Lord knows it's been, I don't remember how many years. I can't remember how many years it's been since I went to Origins. And yeah, Mike, that I agree. It's definitely tough news about the A to B staffers. You know, I told you guys before, you peeps, before, and that is, I'm not concerned about, you know, if Steve Cole passes away. No, at some point he will. It's facts of life. I'm not concerned about, you know, all of a sudden losing my license and I have to shut everything down. I don't see that happening. So I have no concern there. But, you know, things like that, just, as I said, make me feel old. You know, because I remember going to Origins and I was helping Steve Petrick multiple times, because now, when it comes to later on, when after I got my Rated Ace card and I switched over, because as soon as I got my Rated Ace card, to me, that was my goal. Boom. Got my Rated Ace card. After that, I would go to Origins, not to play SFB that much. I'd play every once in a while. Steve Petrick is doing good. He's coherent. Steve Cole, you know, talk to him, you can have a conversation, and he's thinking about, you know, to see if he can get some of the rules questions from maybe the BBS and give it to him, because he still remembers the rules, you know, which is good. You know, obviously with a stroke and all, you never know what, if there's any kind of memory loss and things like that. But so he's doing pretty good. But I'm just remembering Steve Petrick, and when I became a judge, you know, this was in the years of Joe Butler. Joe Butler was the head judge, basically. Next to Petrick, he was the head judge, because he'd been there forever and ever. And then, let me see, I forgot how many years ago it was that he died. And it was, you know, which was sad for all of us. You know, I forget what the cause of death was, and I guess it doesn't really matter. He died too young, no matter what, because he was probably around my age. So he died way too young. And Daniel, after he died, I, for the most part, picked up Joe's mantle. For the most part, you know, Steve Petrick was still head judge, but when Steve Petrick wasn't around, because he can't always be around, you know, I was kind of, since I was a senior judge, just because of I was there for probably the longest period of time. You know, because until the ADV stopped going to Origins, I went to Origins every single year. You know, so it should be. I remember when Steve Petrick being there and him not being, you know, he was, I was gonna say healthy, but vim and vigor, he could move around very well and so forth, especially compared to Steve Cole. Steve Cole was, at that point in time, was having problems walking, you know. Hopefully, you know, with the weight loss that Steve Cole has, to help his body, because he had way too much weight on him. Knees and all that, because Lord knows that's one thing I still remember. It's probably been like 15 years now, where my doctor said, look, it's not a question if you're going to have knee surgery. You're going to have knee surgery. You're going to have knee surgery either in your 50s or your 60s. Your choice. So I remember that, because that was when my left knee started to hurt it. That's weird. But anyhow, now when it comes to, I was hoping this past weekend that I get to play some SFB, but you know, things happened that I wasn't able to do that. Doug Howard, who usually runs the joint, he was in the hospital because of his gallbladder acted up, and they didn't, because he also has an issue with his heart, they weren't about to let him go home for and then come back for the surgery. So they wanted to keep an eye on him. So he was in the hospital from the time he walked in that hospital, stayed at the ER for 17 hours. Yeah, it's that kind of crazy. So, you know, people, if you're not vaccinated, get vaccinated. Protect yourself. If you're not vaccinated, then at the very least, mask up, protect yourself, and protect others. You know, because currently there's a 17-hour wait time in the ER in Harrisburg, and that's not bad. At one point, it was 24 hours. You had to spend 24 hours in ER to them get to you. Short of you in the middle, you know, that you're about to die, you would not be that far up on the list. So, you know, not exactly great. So, you know, and this is Harrisburg. This is Pennsylvania. This is not where we're having huge outbreaks and so forth. But anyhow, he had the surgery. He's at home now. He got home yesterday. They yanked it out, his gallbladder, and so he's doing well. He's doing well. I'll probably talk to him this weekend. See how he's doing, because I've only texted his wife, Erica, who was so basically why I didn't get to play as much is that I've helped be at the front desk and help out. I got to play a couple games. Actually, how many games did I play? I played, of course, the one game with Barry, which was Starship Shuffle. Actually, that's an interesting cooperative game based on SpaceX and their whole thing. The weird mechanic about that game, you get this deck of five cards, which have the parts for the spaceship. And They don't face you. They face everybody else. So that's, to me, that's an interesting mechanic. So you got to guess. You have to pick up one, and then before you look at it, you have to say where you're going to put it. And you have a number of pads depending upon how much development cards you've gotten and so forth. Because one of the development cards is actually extra pads to actually build up your rockets. And you have more additional pads, that means you can put something down without it being an accident, which is good. Because you have too many accidents, it fails. You're allowed three accidents and then like three strikes and you're out, that kind of thing. I got to play some games with my godson, Doug, which is Doug Howard's son. We got to play multiple games. The one game that I wanted to play and he really wasn't that interested in, and he said he liked baseball, but he didn't quite understand the mechanics of the game, which is called Grand Slam. It's a baseball game. It's actually a very simple baseball game. I like it because it is simple, which is you have deck of cards, and what you do is each person gets, I think it's five cards, if I recall correctly. And you swap back and forth, you being at the plate or not. And then the idea is that you want to get runs around, so you'll get like a single or double on your cards, or you might get an out or a bunt or something like that. If you're on the opposite side, you want to get outs, so you want to do anything to achieve that. Now, like anything else, you get the squirreliness of this. And the squirreliness of the game, or the cards, is that in some cases, or sometimes where you're at bat, the only thing you have in your hand is outs. So then you have an out to yourself. Or on the opposite side, you could actually be, in your defense, i.e. your pitching, and you'll get, a single or a double, which you get, and you'll basically getting guys on base, which is what you don't want. But you have to put it down anyway, So it's kind of... obviously, that's square like that, but that's fine. I did get a baseball game called Strat-O-Matic. I played a beginner part once. So that's kind of fun. But anyway, it would be interesting. I know that currently Starfleet Battle Force is a pretty simple game. Pretty simple. So it's like Federation Commander is pretty simple. And as you guys know, I've always SFU ships. That's what I call it. Which is, the whole idea is take SFB FedCom and boil it down more. Boil it down to the basics, and in some cases, even removing some of it. For example, I still want the idea of turn modes, but I don't want the impulse chart. But I like the whole idea of doing ordered turns. You plot out your whole turn. In this case, I'm thinking of six or eight impulses. Wow. A group of six? Mike? Mike is saying that he played Battle Force several times recently. It was amusing with a group of six of us. Yeah, actually, group of six. I'm assuming you use double deck because you run out cards real fast with Battle Force. But yeah, I agree. Battle Force, especially in large groups, it can be a lot more fun. Two, it's okay, but I think the more the merrier. Though I think the optimum in my mind is four. That's the optimum number of players for that game. Mm-hmm. Understood, Mike. Mike just mentioned that he'd like to team play when possible. And I agree that's lots of fun. It just reminds me of Pinochle. Pinochle is one of those things that, you know, team play is lots of fun. And Lord knows, we used to play, what I love with Pinochle was double deck. And then if I recall correctly, you removed all like the nines from the deck. I can't get that right. Except, you know, you play double deck and you play with six players, and it wouldn't be teams. It would be teams, but the whole idea was that each person was playing for themselves. But what would happen is that, you know, you get the bid and then you call for a card. And whoever was the first person in, you know, going around the table that had the card that you're looking for, that's your partner. So it's going to be two, like it might be two against three. Usually when you do that, it's like five. You can do six, but that's about as most I've ever seen us do is like six. And so it'd be like two against four or two against three, you know. Yeah. Pinochle, I truly enjoy Pinochle. I have not played Pinochle for a while. That's something I should see if I can get going at Gamers of Summer. To see if maybe I can get together a group of people who would like to play some Pinochle. Because it's been a while. And I grew up playing a card game from Milwaukee called Sheep's Head. And Lord knows, that one I have not played in years. I used to play Pinochle when I go visit my mother. I play with my brother. We play it until like 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning is what we would do. It'd be late when we finished playing Pinochle. And we had a blast, you know. Yeah, Pinochle decks they have ace, 10, king, queen, jack, ace, 10, king, queen, jack, and 9. That's it. I'm forgetting Sheep's Head when it comes to the decks. I think you took out certain cards for that. That's been a long while. But yeah, you know, Pinochle, I went to college, and I still remember every waking moment that we could, that my group of me and some friends in college, we'd get together and we'd play Pinochle as much as possible. In between classes, we'd play as much Pinochle as possible. In some cases, we only had two people, me and somebody else. And so we play three-handed with a kitty, where you basically you shuffle and play the cards for three people, and then basically it's you against the other person. But then you get this third person, just you take the cards that you dealt them and just put them on the deck. You put them out, whether it makes a difference or not. Now remember one thing with Pinochle. Pinochle is, when it comes to playing the cards, they have rules. You can't just play any card you want. You have to, in the case of Pinochle, you have to play with the same, suit that was played. So if you play hearts, everyone has to play hearts. But if you don't have a heart, then you can play, then you have to play trump. If you don't have trump, whatever that suit was for that hand, then you could play whatever you wanted. Also, you had to had to beat the card. So if someone played a queen, you had to play a king or an ace or a 10. So you had to beat it. Now, if you couldn't beat it, then you could play it below it. But, you know, but you had to, if you could beat it, you had to beat it. And there were certain cards, ace, let me think. It was ace, king, ace 10 and king, if I recall correctly. Those were points. Those were pointers. Yeah, I said it's been a while. So, Pinochle was a fun game, and I wish I had enough people around. Actually, for all I know, my neighbors might play Pinochle because they're kind of older. They're older than me. They're like in their 70s. So they might know. Now, my parents' game, their game was Bridge. Which is, I've never actually played Bridge myself, but I remember them getting together, getting their friends together, and they do it like, I forgot how often they would do it. I want to say once a month, but I know that's too often. I think it was like once every 2 or 3 months. I think like every 3 months, possibly maybe once a year. But I remember when they got together, they have two card tables. So there was eight players. So my parents and then three other couples would come over, and I'm not sure they ate dinner, but they gave us food, and we would head upstairs, and because we weren't allowed basically to be around when they played. So we could either watch TV downstairs or we could be up in a room. They'd have like nuts and things like that, and they'd have drinks and all that kind of thing. So they'd have a good old time. Yeah, actually, Mike, I used to play a little bit of cribbage myself. I got a cribbage board. I played cribbage a little bit. I haven't played it for, I have not played it since my college days. So, whatever. Interesting card games, See, that's the beauty of a deck of cards, in my mind, is that there's so many games you can play. You can play War. You can play Gin Rummy. You can play Sheep's Head. You can play, what is it called? Darn it. There's some other ones which are like Pinochle and so forth. I forget what it's called. Dang it. But there's so many games you can take out of just a plain deck of 52 cards. Of course, poker and blackjack. But those are betting games. I like bidding games. That's why I like Pinochle. I forget what else. It was called Points or something. I forget what. Oh, it's awful. I apologize for not remembering. But it's been so long since I played that game. I forget. I remember some of Sheep's Head when it comes to the points. I remember you had to get rid of a lot of cards. I think as I said, it's been a long time. I might actually look that up when I'm done here. But anyhow, yeah. So, what topic for this evening? it's been an evening of rambling on about multiple things. From Starfleet Warlord to SFB Online to just life and, of course, card games. So with that, I think I will end this podcast and I'll say goodnight to the chat room. Guys, it's been wonderful hanging out with you guys. Always a good time. So with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.